So Dr. Samantha O'Connell, the chief psychologist at Aspire Health Alliance here on the South Shore, is joining us to chat just a little bit about how this crisis, this pandemic, is impacting us emotionally, mentally. Doctor, it's great to see you again. It's been a little while.
I know. It's good to see you too.
Thanks so much for spending some time. What I guess we should start with, what is Aspire Health Alliance doing to respond to the pandemic?
Well, we're there. What's been really one of the silver linings in all of this is that we've been sort of forced to jumpstart the move toward virtual services. And there's a lot of apprehension around that. And so all of our services, things like that we often do outpatient therapies, things like that, we're able to do. And there's also people still in the trenches. We have our crisis services up. We have all of the essential services are still going on. So I think you, Joe, you have our website and lists of services and the numbers that you can offer as well, right?
Absolutely. AspireHealthAlliance.org is the main website. And then for emergency services, 800-528-4890. And we'll put that up on the screen for folks to see from time to time. For folks who don't know, Aspire Health is formerly South Shore Mental Health. That might be more familiar to a lot of folks. Doctor, who's eligible to receive services?
Anybody. Yeah. So a lot of the services, there's been bills passed. So all of the services that you usually are covered by insurance, whether it be MassHealth or private insurance, they're actually quite easy to get. So anybody is eligible, you know, across the developmental span, different presenting issues or problems. Even if you're not sure what that might be, you could certainly just call the numbers provided and someone could help sort it out.
Okay, and does someone need a referral from their primary care physician, or can they just call directly?
They could just call directly, and then someone on the line. In some cases, that might be necessary, depending on what the particular service is. But somebody from the agency could certainly just direct you through that process. Just making the call would be all you'd need to do, and then some knowledgeable person on the other end would be able to help out.
Okay. So can we talk a little bit about what kind of issues you're coping with right now with your clients? You know, what's presenting itself right now?
So you ask me personally, Joe, and I could say pick the hour, pick the day.
Well, we're all human, right? So we're all experiencing Absolutely. A range of emotions, I'm sure. Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, there's such a variety that I'm, you know, hearing from my clients, from the voices within myself, the people who I'm connected with. We have never been through something like this. And so it's bringing up such a roller coaster of emotions that change on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis. Some people may be feeling much, much more of a consistent feeling or two, but probably the most striking finding is just that people feel all over the place. The unpredictability, especially of COVID, like when are we going to be able to go out? When will things be back to normal? Will they be back to normal? That uncertainty is certainly triggering a lot of people to feel a lot of anxiety.
And are you talking to folks who may not have had, you know, mental health on the mind prior to this, kind of newly developed feelings because of this?
It's certainly, so yes and no. You know, most clients that were already clients, maybe just continuing with the regular services. And there's also some frustration about the assumption that everybody's feeling the same thing. Everybody's afraid that we're going to die or that our loved ones will die, where that can breed the sense of disconnect because maybe that's not what they're afraid of, you know? And on the other hand, some other people who may not have been connected to services before are just feeling a new sense of overwhelm or tension or all sorts of other things just by the nature of what's going on. So it's everybody.
How do you kind of recognize, you know, within yourself or others in your family or friends for that matter, that you're actually experiencing issues because of the pandemic? You know, what do you look for? What are some red flags, I guess?
Yeah, it's such a good question because in some ways the pandemic has been sort of the identified thing, right? This is what's going on in our world. This is what's changing everything. And so people are sort of feeling the sense of anxiety and tension and fear, despair. And we're saying, you know, it's all due to COVID, and we don't know when this is going to end. But one of the things that's been sort of settling and can help people disentangle, okay, is this just a normal response to something pretty bad? Or is this becoming something different? Is sort of taking a moment to think, okay, what exactly am I afraid of? And is this sort of what I do in the face of bad things? And there can be something familiar about that. Like when I'm stressed, do I drink? Do I eat? Do I work harder? Is this pattern that's happening during COVID just what I kind of normally do anyway? And if so, why? Because it may just be a fear of this unknown when really there could be some familiarity in how we're just responding to stress.
Sure. And how do you kind of know when it's having a negative impact, when it's having an adverse impact on your life, on the quality of life?
Yeah. Well, I guess you ask, you know, we're sort of wired to avoid anything that feels uncomfortable, and anxiety definitely feels uncomfortable. And one way that you can tell is, again, you know, taking some time to look inward and say, what am I actually afraid of? Is it something that I can do or not do something about? And how is my life really being impacted right now? Am I feeling like there's such a loss of control that, you know, my sleep, my basic needs, I'm not able to eat, I'm not able to go anywhere? Is my fear so consuming that it's really impacting me in a way that isn't healthy? Am I having, you know, thoughts of hurting myself? Am I feeling so stressed out that it's just untenable? And in those situations, you sort of think, all right, maybe I could get another opinion around this or some support.
Okay, and that would be a good opportunity to reach out to you through your 800 number as well.
Yeah.
And talk to somebody, right? Yeah.
Right. Because the need behind that fear or that sense of not being safe could be very different. It could be, wow, I'm noticing that, you know, I'm using substances in a way that really isn't, you know, working for me or for my family, or I'm getting really angry with my children and that's not doing any services for anybody as well. Better disentangling how this is affecting you would really direct, okay, what kind of services might I need? What kind of support might I need? Mm-hmm. Is it just support or in the community around, okay, I'm feeling worthless because I can't work. I'm terrified of not being able to provide for my family. Well, maybe that might direct you toward, okay, maybe you need help with some practical aspects around money and finances. So really making that call, even if you have no idea why you're feeling so unhinged, you know, can be helpful to seek the assistance from someone who could help sort it out.
Sure. And can you...
It's all.
Yeah. Maybe suggest some coping techniques, some actual, you know, physical mechanisms that you could do to relieve that anxiety, that stress.
Yeah. You know, Joe, as I was thinking about this, you know, this conversation that we would have, I was thinking about this sense that some people feel, you know, we're great as a society of saying, take this website, take this handout, go to this place. And some of us are feeling quite overwhelmed with all of the things that we could or should do. And so I was thinking about one of the most helpful things can be to remind people that they have resources. One of the cheapest ones that I know of is you have your breath. You can take moments to just breathe. You could take 3 minutes to just take deep breaths to sort of settle your nervous system, and that's always available to you. You also could to take that minute to look inside and really ask yourself the question, what is it that I'm really afraid of? Because you may get a sense that it's something that you could actually do something to ameliorate that fear. Or you might learn, you know what, I'm really afraid of, you know, something that I need a specialist help with. But taking that moment to just ask and then ask what's behind that, I'm afraid I can't work. Okay, well, it's not just about not working. What is the real fear? All right, well, I'm afraid if I can't provide that I'm worthless. Okay. Is there something that you can do? You don't know what to do unless you really ask. So I guess the two things that I would really encourage is the use of breath and the use of self-inquiry. And then you can be more equipped to know, to sort through all of these resources that are, you know, there's plenty that we have on our website. There's plenty of groups, but it could lead you more directly to what you need rather than being lost in this abyss of resources.
I know something that's helpful for me is to actually take pen to paper and write these things down so I can see them and get them out. Is that something that you'd suggest?
That's a great, and that works for some, you know, I'm also a writer. And so sometimes I'll just make lists and that can be cathartic. But it can be, whether it's even just sitting and letting the thoughts flow, just like the pen to the paper that we would, or talking it through with somebody who, you know, maybe won't even give their opinion, just to sort of let the fears and the all of the things be, you know, sort of honored in whatever form. Even some people may use art. They may just draw out whatever they need to. And at the end of whatever you're doing, do I feel better? Great. And if not, okay, why? What else is going on? What else do we need to do? And sort of taking that stepwise approach.
Okay, so really looking inward and some self-examination and you're hearing your inner voice, right?
Yeah, which can feel, you know, we're really trained to avoid and for good reason. But we just don't want to let that anxiety running in the background for too long because it wastes a lot of energy, just like a drippy faucet or a drafty window. You know, after a while, you start expending so much energy to pay the bill or to do the workarounds that it becomes sort of creeps up on you. So really addressing it, even if it feels a little uncomfortable, it's the most direct route. And you can sense, okay, do I need to spend more time here? Or is just noticing it and understanding it provide relief? Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit, doctor, about how this is impacting children and, you know, maybe some things that parents should be looking out for in their children? They're going through a very stressful time too. Of course, they're all out of school and that presents a whole different set of circumstances.
There's just so much going on with this one. Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of it depends, just like with adults, it depends on the individual. You know, what is the kid, what is the kid's temperament? What are they, how do they usually respond to stress? Are they afraid of being unsafe? That you might get a kid who's then, you know, really worried about COVID actually. Or you may have a kid who's really, really stressed out with change. And so, or you may have a kid who's really sensitive to a parent being irritable when they're trying to work and do remote learning and, you know, deal with their own fears. So with kids, it really feels quite individual and it differs by developmental stage. Mm. One of my colleagues works with young kids, really young children through early intervention. What we were noticing is that some kids under the age of say five or six, they don't really understand, they can't understand the complexities at all. And so they're sort of filling in the blanks. And so we just need to be explicit and clear and listen to their questions. Many kids aren't really feeling, it depends, it really, for the kids, it totally depends on developmental stage and really targeting what is the thing that's causing them stress. If you're noticing your kid being more emotional or not being able to eat or sleep, but it's quite a variety. Some kids are saying they're really loving the time at home. They're loving more independence with their work. Some kids who are more socially anxious are feeling, you know, a bit of relief when they don't have to go into school. But I'm also seeing a lot of kids who miss their peer. They miss their classmates. They miss just being able to giggle and acknowledging that loss while also holding, we don't know when it will be different.
Right.
And I feel worried. I feel, you know, I feel scared about that too. And modeling that it's okay to feel these things and to honor them and to not be afraid of it. It is what it is and we're in it together.
Yeah, it's, I'm thinking too, especially for kids on the autism spectrum who are, you know, need such a regime to follow. This must be especially disruptive for them and their families.
And I'm glad you said, and for their families, because we really count on our school systems and they're doing the best that they can with these, you know, how do we translate an individual education plan? How do we provide that support? It's, you know, it's, we feel like you finally get it. And then it's just the whole world has been kind of tipped upside down. And so just acknowledging that stress it's exceptionally hard for kids with special developmental needs or emotional needs when we're used to the village being able to help in a different way.
Right. Have you thought at all, are you concerned at all about kind of the long-term effects of this crisis on people, kind of a PTSD type of syndrome that might show up, who knows, you know, years later?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like yes, yes and no, you know, we're resilient. Individuals are resilient. We go through all kinds of things. Myself as a person, we have no idea. And there is this discomfort with those of us who are used to having, okay, we know how far, when the finish line is, we know how far we have to push, we know how long we have to help. And so we don't really know how this will impact, but we do know how stress works. We do know that people can recover, that when there's a sense of safety and predictability, people bounce back. If they can process the losses, if they can process the grief and be with others in that, there's a whole heck of a lot of hope in that. So I feel much less anxiety about that right now, knowing that just knowing the nature of it and how it works, that recovery is absolutely possible.
Sure.
That's why I do what I do.
Yeah, it's going to be delayed, probably especially for folks who have lost loved ones during this time, because the whole funereal process has been disrupted.
So. I know, our rituals, just the ways that we say goodbye.
Yeah.
Right, right, absolutely. I'm glad that you brought that up. It's sort of this, there's so much unsaid in the process of our rituals around death and grief. And so there'll be a lot of work to do and a lot of repackaging of how we do it and what feels good to our systems.
Yeah. So curious, you mentioned that you were kind of forced into the, you know, the telehealth aspects at Aspire. How's that been going?
You know, I was fortunate in that I had done some telehealth for a few years before. I had worked with some clients remotely in different states, and I was reflecting on my own reticence around that. How the heck am I going to connect with a 10-year-old? Blah! Or even, how does this work? We need to be in the flesh. This is what we do. Right. And I remember being so shocked when the kid just picked up the phone and went on the video and did his thing. And I remember thinking, whoa, this is my stuff. This is my nervousness around not being effective.
He's fine with that, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was great. So what I was able to hold that experience to be able to encourage, you know, colleagues and others to do it. And what I'm finding, which is so great, is that people are all, most clinicians are saying, wow, that was my stuff. This is just fine.
Okay.
And it's a fine line, because many people on the other end are saying, there's no way I'm going to talk. I want to talk to a therapist anyway, let alone talk to one on a video.
Right.
But there's something about the exposure. If you try it, see what happens. Most are saying, wow, that really actually is possible. We can, you know, acknowledge if there's things missing, but it's been quite effective. Some people have actually said we've been able to do even deeper work with the convenience, not having to drive, rush around, put the kids someplace. And so that's been kind of a lovely side effect here, where we can now reach more people.
Yeah, the silver lining of it, right?
I'm
finding it in my job too. I'm able to do more interviews like this, just
right.
Because of the convenience factor. It's not the same, but right. It's different, but still good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's both.
Yeah. So anything else you'd like to share with folks right now, Doctor? Just about, you know, life during this time or life at Aspire Health?
Just that we're here and that, you know, what I've been hearing a lot of is that, again, I know we mentioned it earlier, is the overwhelm. There's so many resources. How do I choose? And that can be overwhelming. And so, you know, again, just taking that moment to say, what is it that I really need? Because again, the one size fits all group or type of therapy or service doesn't work. But if you can really identify what you need, that may bring some information around what will feel good to me. What kind of people will it feel good to talk to? And sort of sorting through so you can really get what you need. We're all on this roller coaster together, and there's some solidarity in that, you know?
Again, AspireHealthAlliance.org or it's 800-528-4890, your emergency services number. So great to see you, doctor. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Hope it helps get the word out a little bit. If we can do anything more here at QATV, please reach out. We can be kind of a conduit to the community for you.
That sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Be safe, Joe. Bye.